Hey, Justin, you want to watch a movie?
Yeah, sure. What you got?
What do you think about,
No, I saw it last week.
Oh, what about,
Not again.
Oh. How about this?
Wait. You want me to watch what?
So, Justin, what did you think of The Replacements?
You know, I'm not a big sports guy. I
know.
I pretty much fall into the niche of baseball when the team I grew up with hits the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Or hockey.
Hockey?
Otherwise, I don't like many other sports, and I really don't like football. That being said,
yeah,
a good football movie, I'll watch. I don't know if it's just my internal desire for, you know, destruction and violence and rawr. But yeah, I enjoyed it.
Oh, good. I was wondering where we're going here. It's like, but a good football movie, I'll watch. This wasn't.
No, this was good. This was good.
All right. So for those of you who are joining us for the first time, welcome. You smell terrific. The You Want Me to Watch What's a Podcast, where between Justin and I, we have probably watched in the tens of thousands of movies in our lives, and we are stunned sometimes at the oversights. And so we just offer an opportunity to watch something that we hadn't seen before.
Yep.
And then we talk about it and you all get to listen in.
Yep.
You bunch of... All right.
You lucky people, you.
In this case, we watched the 2000 Keanu Reeves, what's the other guy's name? Gene Hackman,
yeah,
movie, The Replacements. A movie about a fictional pro football team, the Washington Sentinels. Good call on changing the name on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're the Commanders now.
Ooh, nice.
Like the Washington team. I think they're called the Commanders now.
All right.
Anyway, there's a strike mid-season. There's four games left of the regular season. And the owner, Ed O'Neill, not that one, fictional Ed O'Neill.
Yeah.
Decides that he is going to use replacement players for the rest of the season. He's going to have scabs cross the picket line in order to finish out the season, maybe even have a chance at the playoffs. They need to win three of the next four.
Mm-hmm.
No coach is going to do that. And so he calls a former coach of his, a guy that he had fired previously, Jimmy McGuinty, to put together a team. McGuinty accepts on the condition, my players, my coaching, no interference. That's a good Chekhov's gun.
Yep.
It's going to come back.
Yep.
And McGuinty pulls together a Bad News Bears kind of group of players. Players that nobody wants for various and sundry reasons.
Uh-huh.
You know, he picks the guards who they were good, good players, but then when they were traded to different teams, they fell apart. They're brothers, and they work together as brothers as a team. John Favreau, I'm sure he has a name in it, but I don't remember it, plays a cop who was in the military, had to have one of his kidneys removed for an injury, played football for a minute before he quit football so he could take on a fake name so he could go back on another tour of duty.
Uh-huh.
One of the hyper-violent kind of fellas who's,
yeah,
now a cop.
Yeah, SWAT team specifically.
Yes. Orlando Jones's Clifford Franklin, a man who is super fast, can't catch.
Mm-hmm.
And so on and so forth. They go Nigel Gruff, the Welsh soccer player.
I like Nigel.
Who's he's in Hawk with the Mob. And Shane Falco. An All-American from Ohio State, played by Keanu Reeves, who went to pieces after a loss in a great big game. Sugar Bowl, I think.
Yeah.
And so with this group of players, they're going to form a replacement team. And they do, and it goes poorly at first. Oh, also Fumiko. Forgot him.
Oh, yeah.
The sumo wrestler who comes on. You lost weight? Oh, don't say that, coach. He's a sumo wrestler. Excellent at pushing people around. That's what pass blocking is, remember?
Yeah.
That's right. So they don't get on too well. They've never had to work as a team. They've never had to do these things. They're a group of individuals. And to try to play professional level ball requires trust and commitment and good leadership. And really this story is about Shane Falco taking on the role of leadership and actually holding on. There's also a side plot about the head cheerleader who's they got kind of a romantic thing, but it's kind of side to the side. Best part of that whole thing is when the head cheerleader, because the cheerleaders are also on strike, kind of comes to find out that the best dancers in the area are all coming from a strip club.
Uh-huh.
And so there are some just really interesting dance moves for a PG-13 movie that just kind of show up about two-thirds of the way through the game.
And they make sure that everybody knows this, because at one point, you know, they're panning across the fans and there's a mother that covers her son's eyes and all the dads and guys are just googly eyed and, you know.
So they use it to distract the other team.
Uh-huh.
To which I think one of my favorite lines in the movie is the opposing coach who says to the ref, "Come on, that one girl slapped that other girl in the ass."
Yeah.
What? I mean, that's a guy who got paid to say that line.
Yeah, that's gotta
be. There is a dollar per word amount.
That's gotta be a technical, right?
You'd think. The first game they play is against Detroit, and they're struggling quite a bit because they're all trying to do their own thing. On the last play, Shane Falco, who's been trying to rally the team, he sees a blitz. He calls an audible. It fails. And McGinty, Gene Hackman, berates him. He's like, you know, winners want the ball. And at the end of the day, you didn't want the ball. So you are a loser. At the bar that night, because we got to get the team together, right? And they got to be committed to each other.
Mm-hmm.
What's the best way to do that? All those pro players who want more money, who are going from $7 million to $8 million, and it's played up that they're asking an unreasonable thing,
mm-hmm.
right? In the movie itself, they show up at the bar to taunt the losing team just so that they could get into a fight. And their placements are arrested, and we get, of course, Gloria Gaynor, "I Will Survive," with song and dance in the cell.
Yep.
Which is funny.
Yeah.
But it's funny like for 2000.
Yeah.
Like 2000 me laughed at that scene over and over again. This time I'm just like, wow, this is going on. They're still doing this.
You can tell who's danced before and who hasn't.
Uh-huh. You can tell who didn't show up to rehearsal that day. Anyway, such as it is, now they're a team because now they've had this shared experience of having to depend on one another and are fighting for one another and with one another in that bar. They kind of come through. And so the next day, when McGinty's saying, "You got to face your fears," it becomes kind of this funny thing was like, you know, "I'm scared of spiders. You know, coach, I'm afraid of spiders too."
Bees.
Yeah,
I'm afraid of bees.
Bees. Well, you mean like spiders on the field? Bees, man. Where really their fear is not getting to play football anymore.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of it, they've got to go back to their lives. They've only got three more games that they can play to make an impact. They almost lose their next one, but they somehow make it. and they make it because of their Welsh kicker, who is able to hit like a 65-yard field goal. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, you hold it, I'll kick the piss out of it. More romance, more humor. Third game, win on just a couple of improbable plays. And at the end of it, you find out that the jerk quarterback has crossed the picket line. He's coming back.
Yep.
Shane Falco's out. And they're going up against the entire actual professional Dallas team. Do you remember back when Dallas was like the team to beat?
Yeah. You
know, I mean, this is late 90s, early 2000s, when just the Dallas Cowboys were top of the line kind of football.
Yep.
Couldn't go anywhere. Suddenly everyone was rooting for Texas. Anyway, McGinty doesn't want this guy back, but the owner interferes. You got to have him. I paid him too much for you to not use him. And so at halftime, they're trailing 17-0. And in a Cinderella story kind of thing, Falco comes back. Martell's benched. The rest of the team, you know, rallies around. And they get to this point, 17-14, less than a minute to go. And they're going to kick, field goal, go into overtime. Except Nigel, who's in Hawk with the Mob, second Chekhov's gun there. If he kicks it, he's going to miss it in order to pay off that debt. And Shane pulls a Lucy on him.
Yep.
Pulls the football, runs it down, touchdown, but there's a flag on the play because we got to have that kind of drama.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get one last good deep pass to the tight end. I've always wanted to say that straight-faced.
Congratulations.
Thank you for the game-winning touchdown. And they win. But the players leave knowing that they're never going to play again. That's it. Credits run as you get to I Will Survive. And you assume that Shane Falco is going to go right back to scraping barnacles off of boats. And that Orlando Jones might very well be going back to the mini-mart. And the Jackson brothers are going to go back to being bodyguards, you know, so on and so forth. It's bittersweet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they did this really great thing, something that is unheard of, and it's funny the whole movie. I really think it is, and it just kind of ends on this high note.
Yeah,
but as soon as you think about it, it's like, oh right. Now, fun fact, this was actually loosely based on the real NFL strike in 1987.
Oh, okay.
Where the Washington team at that point put in replacement players and won all three of their replacement games.
Nice.
And then went on to win Super Bowl 22.
All right.
So,
with those players or?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. So, Keanu Reeves gets a lot of hate as an actor. You know, he's one of those examples of a really great human being,
mm-hmm.
but not so great an actor. I can't imagine anyone else in that spot.
I agree with what you just said, and I also agree with the acting thing, with the caveat of it depends on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him do Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing. That was a little rough.
Yeah.
I've seen him do other dramatic things, other comedy things, whatever, and those were good. I think it just mm-hmm. depends on the source material.
I think the trick to Keanu Reeves is finding the role that fits him rather than trying to get him to fit the role.
Yes.
Because Point Break, he was great.
Mm-hmm.
Speed, he was good.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of good stuff. He actually took a pay cut in this movie, because this is him, you know, in Matrix fame time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
1997, the original Matrix came out, something like that, or 1999, you know. He's a bankable Hollywood star at this point, and he took a pay cut specifically so he could work with Gene Hackman.
Nice.
I would. Rumor has that he also took one for The Devil's Advocate so he could work with Al Pacino. So, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I do like the idea.
Yep.
Being able to say, I want to work with this giant in the industry.
I mean,
so what?
I personally would take a pay cut to, you know, do a podcast episode with Gene Hackman.
Well, I suppose we could make some calls.
Probably not.
Oh, no, we can make calls. They're free.
We just keep calling Darren.
You know what? That works. That works. Yeah. So, what's your impressions? What's your thoughts on this? I mean, this is one that we had to watch separately so that we didn't have any excitement in the room for it. And we're both watching it either late at night or early in the morning kind of thing. So that plays into stuff. So
it was, I assumed going into this movie that at the end, these ragtag group of players would come out on top. That just seemed like the kind of movie I was in for. And I was correct. But that being said, that didn't diminish from my enjoyment of it. I like stuff like that. You know, like Major League.
Oh,
where you get the oddball characters together to form the team that takes everything to the end. You know, I like that kind of thing. Just the watching of the different types of characters come together to do a common thing. So, and for some reason, I like a good football movie. I don't know why, but I don't like the game. I do not like the game. Probably because in the back of my mind, I know these actors aren't really getting hurt. At least
it's highly unlikely.
Or at least in a sense that is going to cause a lot of permanent damage. The story was good. The acting was good. I really enjoyed seeing Gene Hackman on the screen. I forgot he was involved in this until he popped up. I'm like, ooh, Luther.
See, you do that. You judge a person by where they know actors from.
Yeah.
And see, and you tell me Gene Hackman, I go, wait. I was going to make espresso.
But I mean, okay. I didn't see Young Frankenstein until I was in my 20s. I saw Superman as a child.
That's fine. I'm not judging you poorly for knowing him as Luther. I expect people judge me a little bit harshly for he was uncredited in that movie. But
because he wanted to be uncredited, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he wanted to do a comedy thing.
He just wanted to be in a comedy. Yeah. Wanted to know how to do it, you know. And Mel Brooks is like, okay, yeah, I got a spot for you.
Yeah.
And then kept in the ad lib. The espresso.
But I mean, it was a good movie. I enjoyed it.
So, Justin's being generous. Because it's a middling movie. It's got an obvious outcome, you know, and it's got obvious character arcs in all of them. It doesn't make it bad, but because there's no surprise and there's no thing, once you watch it, watching it the first time, it's already a safe movie. And so it becomes one of those movies that's really easy to turn on or just leave on when you find it on television.
It's a laundry movie.
You're going through, you're clicking through. It's a really good laundry movie to just be able to pop in. A couple of scenes I just want to bring up again.
All right.
Because I love them.
All right.
The first one we've already alluded to is the striptease you know, during the game.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, just to clarify, nobody is removing clothes. They are just suggestively dancing.
They are very suggestively dancing. And it is so over the top as to be comical.
Yes.
Like, it is clear. It's like somebody figured out the choreography for these women. It's like, this is going to be so obviously and overwhelmingly sexual in its form that people aren't going to be able to help but laugh. You got to play it straight.
Mm-hmm.
And they do. It's
absolutely
beautiful. The other one is when the second time the striking players flip the truck. And the two guards going is like, no, we got this.
So just,
hey, you want to put,
let's just back up a second and kind of explain the scene.
Carry on.
So Keanu Reeves shows up to the first day of practice. The pro players are there. Apparently he parked in, what's the guy's name? The
Martell.
Martell. They parked
Eddie
in Martell's spot, even though it's not marked. And they decide, you know what, we'll move your truck for you. And they flip it on its side into the next parking spot.
To which Keanu Reeves locks the truck with his bloop, fob. Bloop. Bloop, bloop.
And so the next time he comes, you know, he gets his truck fixed, blah, blah, blah. Comes back later. They're there again. It's like, see, I didn't even park in your spot. No, but you parked in so-and-so's spot. So they flip the truck again. And then...
Then the two brothers who are the bodyguards, great big dudes, come out and they're like, well, you want to flip the truck back up for me? No. You know, who are you? We're the guards. We protect our quarterback. And they start laughing. It's like, hey, Martell, that's your ride, right? Pointing to this, I think it's a Ferrari. Might be a Porsche. You know,
I think it's a Porsche. Yeah.
Porsche makes more sense. That's your ride, right? Yeah. Pulls out a pistol and just shoots out the windshield.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, holy crap, son of a bitch. Son of a bitch. Son of, I'm a son. And he backs up and shoots out the side window.
Yeah.
Now put the car back. And they tip the truck back over. In fact, wash that.
Buff it.
Wax that motherfucker.
Give it a tune-up. And immediately cut to the locker room meeting. And that's why firearms will no longer be allowed on the premises. Coach.
If you have a firearm, please turn it in. Just no questions asked. Then nobody gets up. The two guys are just looking at each other like, oh. And as they're walking away, you know, they've just had this really violent, you know, dangerous encounter. And they're walking away. It's like, what's that smell? And Shane had a wild yam, you know, muscle relaxing, but I was like, it's yam. That's nice. Great big smiles. It's moments like that that make the movie to me. That are just these small character things. You know, it's like Jon Favreau's character, this hyper-violent, very intense kind of thing. It's like, I need you to get me the ball. Will you give me the? I will get you the ball. I will get you. And he gets the ball and he brings it to the coach. I got that ball.
And they're yelling at each other.
They're yelling at each other these congratulations. And then the whistle blows and they both just go completely blank faced. He's like, sit down now, Danny. Okay. It's like just this switch that got turned off. You know? And just about all the characters have some kind of thing like that.
Yeah.
Each of the ones that they bring on. It's not a huge long arc. They're just, you get payoffs for all of these different things that really work out well. Really well put together. Not daring, not groundbreaking, but Howard Deutsch did a really good job in putting together this particular film. For me, it's a see it. It goes, it's on Netflix for, well, till tomorrow as of recording, but I'm sure it will be available somewhere else.
Somewhere else, so, yeah. One more thing. So,
sure.
The head cheerleader, whose name I don't remember because the romantic subplot was, you know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. She said
her name, I think, was Brooke.
Yeah. Okay. She said she got paid, the cheerleaders got paid $50 a game.
Annabelle.
So $50 a game, but they don't go on the road. They just, how many home games in a regulation season are there, roughly?
I don't know.
Okay, well,
probably not many.
How many total games in a regulation season, roughly?
18. There are 18 weeks of football. So you're figuring about nine.
Nine home games?
Give or take.
That's $450 for an entire season.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not bitching more about the money?
Clearly not. Oh. We don't talk about that.
Yeah. It's the early 2000s. Like, clearly, we don't talk about that. But that struck me because he's like, oh, you going to practice? No, we only make $50 a game. And earlier he said, no, we don't go on the road. So I'm just like, damn.
Mm-hmm. Now, today, 2022,
yeah,
they make $150 per game. If they make a public appearance, they'll make another 50 to 75.
It's progress? I mean, it is.
Or is it inflation?
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, it's a see it from me as well. Just remember, it's an early 2000s movie.
Yeah. We don't hold products of their time against them for being products of their time.
No.
We just look at them and learn how to be better today.
Yes.
So I think that means it's your turn next.
It is, and I've got something that will pair nicely with this.
I look forward to it.